We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
He's ready to go.
On the Fan,
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on.
Sean O'Hara, former Giant, is an NFL Network analyst. You can see him tonight on NFL Total Access at 7 p.m. Thursday Night Football continues this week with Titans and Steelers. You can also see Sean do the post-game. At least he did it last week. I don't know if he does it every week, but he's there a lot of weeks on MSG, which I like to watch because I like to watch the coaches, except this time the coach came out really late. That's why I always turn on both of those for the coach afterwards. And it's a tough spot because if you're an ex-Giant, then you watch a team play like that, you got to talk about it. And you don't want to rip up your old uniform, but sometimes you have to. Like last week was one where you had to do it, right? The last 2 weeks you had to do it.
I feel like I've been doing it all year.
Well, especially Mike. The last 2 weeks. I mean, you tell me this, though, and this is not just beat up on McAdoo, but how can you anybody watch Jenkins play that game and allow him to play four quarters when he's playing that way?
Well, I think the number one answer is he's one of your best corners, and discipline is something that they're going to have to find out how they handle it going forward. You know, I think for Janoris Jenkins, I think he's a prideful guy, and I think for him to know that people are talking about him in that manner, you know, look, when the Giants signed him as a free agent and he came from the Rams, there was some banter about, hey, this guy kind of gives up on plays and he doesn't play the entire game, and he talked about how his conditioning wasn't great. You know, we saw the best Janoris Jenkins, the best version of Jenkins last year.
He played great.
And, you know, maybe now we're kind of seeing a little bit of the old Janoris Jenkins. But I think this is why, you know, everybody wants to beat up on the coach and, you know, and Coach McAdoo and Spags. No, listen, when you put that helmet on and when you go to work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you are with all your teammates. You understand, look, the name on the back of the jersey is just as important as the decal on the helmet. And that's really where you look at this team and you say, the talent is there. These are the same group of guys last year that won 11 games, that were dominant defensively. There is no excuse and no reason for them to not be putting the same type of performance out there each and every Sunday. And when you go out there and you lose a game, look, last week they lost to the Rams. They put up a 50 burger at home. It was embarrassing. It was awful. But the Rams are a good offense. They're explosive. The 49ers had one of the worst offenses in the league.
They were hideous.
So that just did not sit well with anybody.
No, listen, you can't tell me that you're getting a good effort out of the defense when the Niners, who were averaging 4 points a half and had not, and I have people who watch the Niners every week, they're Niner fans, tell me, we haven't had an offense run even for a quarter. That quarterback had been hit 50 times in 5 games. He had been sacked 14 times in his last 3 games. They didn't touch him in the game.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-boggling when you think about the fact that that team hadn't won a game, and they've got a rookie head coach. Now, I think Kyle Shanahan's very good offensively. He does a great job against different coverages, different blitzes, and all that. But to not have any pressure, not one sack, just 2 quarterback hits, as you mentioned, against a quarterback that's really struggled. You know, you saw the jubilation in the locker room for them after the game, and that team, they had zero confidence, but that's all the more reason why you've got to start fast. If you're the Giants, the whole message for that game should have been, look, we are not going to let them run the football. We're going to shut down the run. We're going to make this guy throw the ball 45 times, and we're going to start out early. We're going to get up on these guys early and make them think this is another L, and they'll quit. But they let them hang around, and that's what bad teams do. They play down to the level of their competition, and that's what we saw.
But they didn't let them hang around, Sean. That team dominated them in the second half. They're down 18 points with 10 minutes to play there. It's a laugher. The other team's got a laugher.
Yeah, I thought the biggest gut punch for the team, for the Giants, was to let that touchdown right before the half.
Oh my God!
And you go into half. I mean, look, they're still down 17-13. I thought even when they came out of halftime, they were marching. They had the little drive going. And then on third and eight, they didn't convert. They ended up going settling for the field goal. They missed the field goal. And to have given up a touchdown right before the half, then to miss a field goal, that's a 10-point swing right there. You can almost feel the air coming out of the sails. The next three possessions for the Giants, they did nothing, and that's, you know, really where the offense fell asleep at the wheel and missed out on a big opportunity.
And then you got yesterday on a conference call. Now, listen, no one's surprised by it. And we're talking with Sean O'Hara, NFL Network, ex-Giant, who obviously had a great run as an offensive lineman for the Giants during a very good era for them. You know, he comes out yesterday after you knew John wasn't going to fire him. We know that. I mean, it's just not their way. And nothing's gained by firing a guy in season. We know that. Unless he can't stand the sight of him anymore. But he comes out and talks about, well, I like the grit my team showed on that last drive. That last drive was against a team that was throwing Gatorade on each other while they were up 18 points with 2 minutes left. That cannot be when you're an old veteran team with a Super Bowl quarterback. Can you tell me that's what you took from that game? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell. He's searching. I think all the coaches, you're searching for something positive. You know, when you look at this team defensively, you know, the one thing that jumps out at you is, and jumps out to me is, I look at who's starting a linebacker. You know, as an offensive lineman, whenever I went into a game, I would look at the linebackers and say, okay, who are we playing? Are we playing downhill guys? Are we playing Jeremy Trotter? Because I'm going to buckle up. I'm going to bring an extra mouthpiece. I know this is going to be a physical game. When I look over and I see a guy, Kelvin Shepherd, who wasn't even on a team a couple weeks ago, Jonathan Casillas was back and playing will linebacker. But you would look at the linebackers. Curtis Grant was the other starting linebacker. They had no B.J. Goodson, no Devon Kennard. That's really where I think defensively they're struggling to stop the run. And you look at last year, I was talking to Steve Spagnuolo last year and during the offseason, they said, look, one of the reasons why we were so good defensively was we stopped the run. It's so much easier on third down to hold people out when it's third and seven.
Harrison played great last year. Harrison played all world. He hasn't been good this year. JPP hasn't been good this year. It's not just the guys in the secondary is getting picked on all the time because they're giving up the huge plays and they're not. And Jenkins isn't trying. But you got none of these guys. Vernon's been out of the lineup. JPP hasn't done a thing all year. And Snacks has had a year not even close to what he had last year.
And a lot of missed tackles. This time last year, you didn't see the missed tackles. We've seen Landon Collins miss some.
A lot.
We've seen a lot of, you know, Eli Apollon, Janoris Jenkins. I think having Olivier Vernon back, you know, you could see, to me, JPP plays so much better at left defensive end when he's going up against that right side of the offense. When he had to fill in for OV at right defensive end, it just didn't seem like his pass rush moves were as effective. So, you know, defensively, look, the one thing that you want to see is you want to see some fight. You want to see somebody come out and step up and be the guy, be the spark plug, get this team going, because I tell you, the Chiefs, they're not going to feel sorry for him.
No.
And Andy Reid, you know, coming off a bye, 16-2.
And he's going to call them. And plus, the tight end scored in 10 straight games. Now you're facing a tight end who's going to turn them inside out.
Yeah, Kelsey. It's Kareem Hunt is
yeah, and
just
you think
as good a linebacker as Carlos
and you think
Hyde,
he'll
too.
Be able to get deep on the Giants secondary lately or what? You think that'll happen? He's the fastest guy in the league. I mean, you think he'll have trouble running by anybody the way they've been playing? And why are they going to play better all of a sudden? That's the thing. Why is it going to get better? See, I thought it would get better in San Francisco, and it didn't off the 51 points. I said, all right, they'll show up this week. There was a lot of talk. They kind of circled the wagons. They went out there and they played worse. Why do we think now it's going to get better all of a sudden?
Well, it has to. And, you know, I mean, I guess that's what they say. When you're in the basement, there's nowhere to go but up. But I think, you know, when you look at this team, and you mentioned it, look, I agree with you about the firing of the coach thing. I never understood the firing a coach during the season.
Unless he just is a nut and he has to, I mean, he's just, unless he has to leave the building. You know, unless sometimes guys just lose their mind and they have to leave the building. Otherwise, there's nothing to gain from it. We all know it.
Yeah, I mean, I always look at the players first. And, you know, look, this is the same defensive scheme last year that catapulted this defense to a phenomenal season, won them close games. This team just doesn't have a whole lot of confidence right now, and you would think coming off of the bye week that they would have been refreshed. We would have seen a little recharge a couple weeks ago. You know, I haven't really seen that. So, look, everybody wants to look at the coaches. I'm always looking at the players first. This is up to them, and for the veterans, you know, they've got to be the ones to grab the young guys and say, listen, next year is not a given. You're not guaranteed to be here, and neither am I. So they've got to try to find a way to salvage some respect.
You know, this low ebb, seven games left in a season, is a, you know, this is usually week 15 stuff we're seeing right now. You know, that's usually, you might see it really late around Christmas time when the buses are, you know, when the bags are packed. But this is week, you're in the middle of the season, week 9, week 10. You got a lot of weeks left.
Yeah, my rookie year, Mike, I played for the Browns, and we started out 2-1. I'll never forget Chris Palmer came in and said, "Hey guys, we're in first place in the division. You know, it's something to be proud of." We ended up going 3-13 that whole year, so we went down a long stretch. And I tell you, I had a little glimpse into it as my rookie year, but I kind of saw all of a sudden guys would start dropping. And, you know, oh, the twisted ankle that you probably could play through. Next thing you know, guys are on IR. And that's really, you know, what you're looking out for when guys start pulling themselves out of game and start dropping, then you know that you're in trouble.
And really, how do you guard against it? Is it a fine line? Let's say it's a guy who doesn't have a contract and he's in the league 6 years. Does he say to himself, now I know some guys do, but how do you guard against this? You know what? I'm not going to give up my future for this team. I'm going to go into next year healthy. I'm going to get a new contract. Now, you know, it's a video resume. We know that. How about that fine line of playing well enough not to hurt your chances next year, but being worried about next year?
Well, my mindset, and I think what you're asking is, hey, if you're a free agent right now and you're not on a contract next year, what do you do? What's your mindset? Well, I'll say this. Every team scouts all the free agents that are coming out. And here's what I would want to know if I'm looking at signing a player, whether re-signing a player of my own or a player from another team. I'm going to look at their record. And if I find out that they're on a 1-15 team, I'm going to go to that last game that they played, week 17, and I'm going to see what kind of effort that guy has. And that's how I'm going to know what type of player and what type of person I'm getting in free agency. So as a player, I know this. I'm going balls to the wall. I'm going all out because I'm a pro, and I chose this profession. I do it because I love the game, and I don't want to cheat the game. I don't want to cheat myself. I don't want to cheat my teammates. So, look, the injury factor, you can't ever predict that. Nobody has the crystal ball. If you do get hurt, you've got plenty of time now with the off seasons as short as the off season programs are. You'll be back in plenty of time, but you've got to go out there and you've got to be a pro and you've got to earn it. And that's what I think the mindset needs to be. Now, when you're 24, 25 years old, you may not have somebody telling you that. You know, who knows what, you know, what your agent is telling you. For some of these guys, I'm sure their agent's in their ear saying, hey man, if you get nicked up, pull out. And sometimes agents can do the players more of a disservice than anybody because they're the ones that are looking at the long-term financial gain because they've got the most to lose as well.
Talking with Sean O'Hara, NFL Network, former Giant, about the Giants and everything else. You know, the other thing here is the idea of the guy next to you. I mean, as a veteran guy, I mean, everyone always going to think it falls on the quarterback. And we know Eli's not that kind. You know, he's not a guy who's going to get in guys' faces. That's just not who he is. He's going to play hard, but he's not always himself. But he's not going to be a yeller or a screamer or something like a Tom Brady or some of these other guys. But how about it? I mean, do you need someone on that team to be basically rattling the lockers and basically confronting guys when they don't see effort?
I think the one thing you always have to be careful with is don't try to be someone you're not. You know, I think we all learned from Jameis Winston. You know, when you get a little crazy and you're going over the board and you try to eat a W, it can kind of backfire a little bit. So, you know, look, I think Eli's got great respect in that locker room. I don't think he's ever tried to be somebody he's not. He's not a real vocal guy, but I tell you, Eli knows how to motivate guys. You know, I've seen him go over to wide receivers and just say, hey, look, if you're going to run your own routes, then I'm just not going to throw it to you. So tell me now. I won't look your way. But if you want to catch touchdown passes, this is how you do it. And he's kind of got a way about him that draws the players to him. So I think, you know, that's not always Eli's role. It's never really been his role. But I know this. I've been in practice, and I've heard McAdoo come down on guys. You know, he is very critical of them, and he's not scared to give them a tongue lashing and get after their, you know what. I think players need that. I think players nowadays, as you know, they need it more than ever. And the one thing that allows other players to be coached is Eli allows himself to be coached. Tom Brady allows himself to be coached. That's why the Patriots are so good. Because guess what? Tom Brady can get dog cussed by Bill Belichick. And he doesn't take it personal. He turns right around and says, yep, I got to do better. He's correcting me as a professional, not as a person. And when your quarterback is coachable, then everybody else has to fall in line. And really, that's where as players, you got to look at it and say, hey, these guys are here to make me the best player I can be. It's not personal. It's not, you know, if somebody gets on me, I can't go in the tank.
Well, we're talking with Sean O'Hara. Sean, having been there, you've been in that room. You've been in the room on good days, bad days. You mentioned with the Brown back in Chris Palmer's days. You mentioned, and not every day with the Giants was a picnic, but you had a lot of good ones. What has to happen right now between that team, that staff? What has to happen in that room right now for things to get better? It's not as simple as we're going to go out and practice hard. We've heard that nonsense for 2 weeks. So what has got to come to – what has to happen for something to change with that team right now?
Well, I'm not a big fan of, like, the players-only meetings. Right. You know, sometimes those things end up, you know, I mean, if you're going to have a meeting, go ahead and do it, and just don't tell anybody, you know, because when the reports start coming out, then it's like a little nugget comes out here and there. But I do think there is something for, hey, look, if someone's got some beef and you need to air it out, then go ahead. You know, to me, one of the most disappointing things and the toughest things for teams to overcome when you go on losing streaks is when that comes out, when that starts growing, and you've always got a couple guys in each team that are kind of over there, they're part of that committee, they're running it, and they want to complain about everything. When it's just two or three guys, you don't have to worry about it. But when all of a sudden you look over and now it's 10 or 12 guys, now you got a problem. So I think this team needs to just really get together. If anybody's got some beef, if somebody's got something to say, go ahead and say it. Let's air it out amongst each other, and then let's make a decision right now. What are we going to do? Are we going to go out and fight? And who's with me? And it can't just be talk. It can't be lip service. You got to go out there and you got to do it because you're a competitor. If you didn't like to compete, then you shouldn't be in the NFL. And that's really what you want to see out of your teammates, out of yourself, out of the organization. You know, the one thing that I don't think a lot of people realize is when you lose a football game, that entire building feels it. It's not just the players and the coaches. I mean, you walk in there, look, the mashed potatoes are sloppy. The meatloaf doesn't taste right. I mean, everybody is in a hangover, and it's the whole organization. So it's so much bigger than just you, and I think that's one of the things that players always need to realize.
And teams, I think that sport, because of its emotion, the intensity, the buildup each week, that sport, when things are good, teams are better than they are. And when things are bad, they're worse than they really are. And I think that's what you're seeing right now. The Giants are not a bad team. They're just playing like a bad team.
Yeah, it's just bad football. You know, and some of it's not smart football. It's a bad penalty at the wrong time. And I think that's why, you know, when you go back and the players go back and look at the corrections and you come in and say, okay, what can we fix? You know, listen, the Giants had a chance for a touchdown pass early on in the game. They've got, you know, I think it was a third down. It's the sack that happens to Eli. He's got Evan Engram for a touchdown. If he doesn't get sacked there, if Justin Pugh doesn't get beat, that could be a touchdown. That play alone could have been the difference in the game. What we're seeing right now is the Giants are not a confident team. They're not the kind of team that can be down 7 points and say, hey, it's okay, we're going to make a play and we're going to rally back. They really only played with a lead, you know, in one game, and that was really Denver, and the defense was confident that the offense was going to move the ball. That's really what you're seeing. So this team can't disappear offensively. You've got to start fast, especially against a Chiefs team now that Andy Reid's one of the best at scoring on the opening possession. So,
yep.
You know, I remember playing Philly. I'd look up halfway through the first quarter, and we're down 14 points because they marched right down the field on you right away. So that's what you've got to have. This team has not been very good in the first quarter this whole season, and that leads to confidence. That's really what I'd be preaching to the team, and the confidence is, you know, sometimes it can be fake confidence, but you got to find a way to project it somehow.
All right, now on the plus side, Philly, Do you think Philly's as good as they look? Do you think, I mean, they're not just winning games, they're winning games easy. I mean, they are doing everything. I mean, they're getting to the quarterback on defense. Their quarterback is playing lights out. You think Philly's for real?
Yeah, they're legit. You know, I mean, the one thing that you kind of look at them and say, man, are they battle tested enough? You know, if they, you know, when you start scoring that many points. But to me, the Jay Ajayi trade really kind of solidified, wow, all right, this team is a serious contender.
And a lot of guys in the league, I took a couple of guys that didn't like that trade because they thought that guy is a bad guy to bring into your team. He's got a bad reputation. They wondered if that was a good thing to bring into a team that was doing well. It'll be interesting to see if he does better or he becomes a bad actor, because that was his reputation. I mean, that's why they ran him out of there.
Yeah, and I think when you get traded as a player or when you switch teams, you get a little dose of reality that, you know what, I'm expendable. And you know what, this is the NFL does stand for not for long when it comes to things like that. I think also when you put Ajayi in that offense, it's not all about him. I mean, he's probably the sixth option in offensive plays. And but when you bring Ajayi in, here's the message that I got was, look, we're scoring a lot of points. We're throwing the football a lot right now. But in the NFC East, you've got to win games in November and December by running the football. And they created a two-headed monster with LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi. Now, Jason Peters went down, blew his knee out. And Halapululi Vaitai has done a great job coming in at left tackle, and he's played really well. But I think the Eagles also saw, hey, look, we've got to find a way to close games out. We can't put our defense out in bad positions. And that, to me, was a big message, bringing in Ajayi. I think Carson Wentz has been playing lights out. I think Nelson Aguilar, after people were kind of thinking that he might be a bust, moving him to the slot has been huge for that offense. He's been so productive. He's been so electric. And then when you look at what Zach Ertz has done at the tight end position, it's pretty remarkable. And they've got a really physical defense too up front that can really get after you. So they're very legit. They're beatable. Look, the Giants almost beat them too. If Brad Wing doesn't shank a putt, and Jake Elliott doesn't bang a 61-yard field goal, you know, the Giants could have, you know, drove them down up the turnpike with a W. So they're definitely beatable, but they're pretty hot right now.
All right, listen, good to talk to you. Thanks for all the stuff on the Giants, Sean. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate
it. Sean O'Hara, you see him on the NFL Network. Brian Billick, Terry Francona, still to come back after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.